Hello, welcome back to the Football Postcast brought to you by The Racing Post. This is the show that aims to arm you with all of the best betting insights so you can go into this week's football fixtures full of knowledge. Today it's myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside our expert Racing Post sport tipsters in Liam Flynn and Dan Charles. And from our sponsors, I'm delighted to welcome Brian McDonald from Paddy Power. There's some brilliant Premier League fixtures to go through, gents, so let's jump straight into it then. It's Friday, the 23rd of October. That's our first fixture, and it sees Aston Villa take on Leeds. Brian, a show of the prices for this one, and how do you see it going?
Aston Villa are 6-5, the draw 12-5, and Leeds are 21-10. I don't really have a big opinion on the match odds. If I was forced to pick one, I'd probably sit on the fence and go for the draw, as it's the best price of the three selections. But I do like the under 2.5 goal line at even money, though. That would be my pick for this game. Both teams said they have been involved in some very high scoring games already this season. Leeds had 2-4-3 results early on against Liverpool and Fulham. But when you look at those games and compare them to sort of Leeds under Bielsa, and if you look at the Championship last season, those 4-3 results were very un-Leeds-like in terms of their conversion. Usually, Leeds don't take as many chances as they create. And since those games, they have sort of regressed to the mean. They've only scored 2 goals in their 3 games since then. All 3 of those games finishing under 2.5 goals. Aston Villa as well, they've obviously had a dream start with their 4 wins. The outlier in terms of goals in those games was the Liverpool game, which was just a crazy game. It's hard to take anything from that game in terms of future predictions. They deserved the win. There was a couple of deflections and it was just a freak result. But I'd be looking at their 1-0 wins over Sheffield United and Leicester last week as well, and thinking if Villa are going to continue their good run of form, they're going to have to match those performances where they've kept it tight at the back. They gave up less than a goal in expected goals against Sheffield United, against Fulham and Leicester last week as well. So I can definitely see this being a tight game and similar to both teams' games last time out. Leeds, a 1-0 defeat, and Villa with a 1-0 win. So I really like the under 2.5 goals at even money.
Great stuff. Dan, it has been a wonderful start for Aston Villa. They made some shrewd signings in the transfer window. What do we put their early success down to?
I put a lot of it down to really good recruitment. I mean, they've added some players in key areas. I think the Emiliano Martinez has improved them in the goalkeeping position, where they've been weak for a couple of seasons. Ollie Watkins has been a massive difference for them up front, giving them that pace, strength, and movement. And Ross Barkley as well is coming in late on in the window, has really added quality. That midfield, and all of a sudden you're not just relying on Grealish for all the creativity. Popped up with a winning goal as well, didn't he, against Leicester. I really like Villa here. They'd be my, I think they're the best value Premier League bet of the weekend, actually. Equal Friday the weekend. I think Leeds, I've mentioned before, I'm not as sold on them as some other people seem to be, and they're going into this game with a few injury problems. I mean, Calvin Phillips has been a massive player for them. He's out. I think Bielsa's saying that the centre-back, Pascal Struick, is going to play in the holding midfield position. That's going to create a problem, at centre-back where he's been playing. And Liam Cooper, he may come back in, but he's doubtful as well. So they've got issues in the spine of their team, Leeds. And up against a Villa team that, I mean, as Brian mentioned, defensively, they are looking really strong. I like the partnership of Ezri Konsa and Tyrone Mings. I think they've played really well together. I think Villa, and I don't expect them to carry on like they are, but I do think they could well be a top half side this season, and that makes them at odds against at home to Leeds, I think, a good bet.
Yeah, Liam, Villa have started the season wonderfully, haven't they? Are we getting slightly carried away here? Leeds are put up a good fight, aren't they?
I think you can get carried away in terms of starting to alter your outright predictions this early on. But in terms of the next game, I mean, the form book does definitely favour Villa, and they would be my bet for this one. I actually like the look of Villa to win and both teams to score at 3-1. I mean, Villa have obviously enjoyed a superb start, 4 wins, 4 games, 12 goals scored and only 2 conceded. You look at Leeds, I mean, they've had a mixed bag of results this season, but a consistent aspect of their game is is sort of the monopolization of possession. You look at the possession stats, 52% against Liverpool, 51 versus Fulham, 64 versus Sheffield United, 53 versus Man City, and 68 versus Wolves. So typically under Bielsa, obviously, they like to see a lot of the ball. But I think that could play into the hands of Villa, who have been pretty, you know, pretty lethal on the counter-attack with the likes of Ollie Watkins, Jack Grealish, Peter Bertrand Traore as well. And I think it's a lot harder to sort of stop those counter-attacks when you haven't got, as Dan mentioned, your best holding midfielder available to you in Calvin Phillips. So I think Villa will be fancied to win. But even though they do have, they've kept three league clean sheets this season, and I think Emiliano Martinez, for me, is terrific at Arsenal and has done a very good job at Villa, I would actually still fancy Leeds to get on the score sheet in this one. I mean, they scored three at Anfield against Liverpool. They beat Sheffield United in their, and obviously beat Sheffield United in their two away contests this season. And I think they do have enough in the final third to get on the score sheet. But I like the look of Villa to win and both teams to score like that for this one.
Yeah, really fascinating encounter to kick things off on the Friday night. Let's move on to the early kickoff on Saturday. This one kicks off at 12:30. It's West Ham United taking on Manchester City live on BT Sport 1. Brian, how are Paddy Power seeing this one?
West Ham are 13-2. The draw is 4-1, and we have Manchester City at 4-11.
What's your kind of betting angle here? Because West Ham will be pleased with their start to the season, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think City are probably a bit on the short side of 4-11. I wouldn't want to be backing them. If you look at both teams' results, even this season and even towards the end of last season, West Ham especially, they're building confidence and team spirit. There, I think it's something that we haven't seen in this West Ham team since they moved to their new stadium. Comeback win in the last 10 minutes, or comeback to get a draw in the last 10 minutes against Tottenham last week was incredible. He seems to be getting the best out of his attacking players in Mikel Antonio and Jared Bowen as well. They bet Wolves, traditionally a tough side to break down under Nuno. They went and bet them 4-0, and full value for that 4-0 win as well. You know, it wasn't a freak result. The next week they went to the King Power and thumped Leicester 3-0. So I think it's an exciting time to be a West Ham fan. I know David Moyes spent some time at RB Leipzig in Germany between his two managerial spells at West Ham, and he seems to have learned a lot from them in terms of where and how he wants to take the club forward. In terms of this game of the weekend, I'd be happy to have a go on West Ham to get a result in the plus one or the double chance market at a 2-1. Man City have been inconsistent. We're still not seeing the same Manchester City side that won the league two seasons ago. They aren't as ruthless at killing off games. We saw them last week, a 1-0 win against Arsenal. That probably would have been three or four goals a couple of seasons ago. Kevin De Bruyne will be missing again this weekend. It's probably no surprise his first game out last week against Arsenal, that was their lowest expected goals for Man City this season. So I wouldn't be in a rush to throw them in any yakas on Saturday, and happy to have a stab at West Ham to get a result. Win or draw is
interesting. I mean, West Ham and Manchester City level on points after five games this season. Do you think West Ham can sneak something here?
Yes, I do. I agree with a lot of what Brian said, actually. I think Manchester City are too short to win this one. I've just noticed the last couple of games, and as has been mentioned, with De Bruyne being out, City are not really playing like a City side that would expect them to. The shot count against Arsenal was 13-11, so an even game. Against Porto, it was 9-6. So they're not really dominating games the way you expect them to. They had less possession as well in the game at Leeds that finished 1-1. I just think, I mean, there's talk that Laporte and De Bruyne could be back in training towards the end of this week, but you can't see them being anywhere near fully fit. And there's other issues as well. You've got Fernandinho and Aki have got injuries now, so they've been added to the group of players that are out. I think Mendy's out as well. Sergio Aguero, I mean, how is his fitness going to stand up? He's been out for a while. Then is he going to be able to start three games now in 8 days? I mean, that's got to be questionable as well. The Man City players are not machines. You know, they have had to play, you know, a high-intensity game on Wednesday, now having to play on the Saturday. West Ham have had a free week. And against Spurs, I mean, you can. I'm a Spurs supporter, and I watched the game. And watching it with my wife, I'm not normally nervous watching I was getting edgy because I could see that West Ham were unlucky to be 3-0 down. They're playing with a lot of intensity. And trust me, they fully deserve to get the 3-3 draw in the end. Had two great results before that against Wolves, the 4-0, and against Leicester. And I think with a 3 week to prepare here, they're overpriced to get a result. So West Ham will draw, double chance.
I'm very keen on West Ham as well. Liam, what about you? I mean, Manchester City still the favourites in the outright market for the Premier League. Do you see why? Do you think there's a win coming for City here?
No, not particularly. And again, no, I wouldn't be looking to back them in this one. I think they're too short, like the other two guys have said. I'd actually be going for the goals angle in this one. And I'd be going for over 3.5 goals at about 11 to 10. City managed only two clean sheets in their first seven competitive games across all competitions this season. And even with the arrival of Ruben Dias, I still think they look very vulnerable at the back. Porto had plenty of space to exploit in their Champions League contest in midweek. And I actually think over 3.5 goals is quite an appealing bet in the Premier League at this moment in time. I mean, West Ham themselves have scored at least 3 goals in 4 of their last 5 assignments. Quite impressive. And then they've had a range of goal scorers in those matches as well. Sebastian Allaire's bagged 5 goals, Jared Bowen 3, Yarmolenko, Snodgrass and Antonio each have 2 to their name. City have also obviously lost midfield anchor Fernandinho, who I think will be out to around 4 to 6 weeks. So that won't aid them kind of on the defensive side of their game. And obviously, as we touched upon, West Ham showed tremendous spirit in that game against Tottenham. And before that, beaten Leicester and Wolves. So they're showing that they can, they can match the bigger teams in the division. I'd be very reluctant to back Man City. I also think West Ham are a touch too inconsistent to actually back to win the game. I think the best way to approach this one would be with the goals angle. So over 3.5 goals.
Well, it's not often you see the full panel going against Manchester City, but this is one of them weeks and another interesting game, that one. To the under end of the table, we see Fulham taking on Crystal Palace. Brian, Fulham still without a win this season after the first 5 games. Will they be seeing this one as an opportunity to get off the mark?
I think so, yeah. I'm happy to go with Fulham to win. They are 7-4. The draw is 21-10 and Crystal Palace are 13-8. But I think it's fair price 7-4 Fulham to get their first win of the season. I watched them against Sheffield United last week. They were very unfortunate not to get a couple of more goals and a win. Any other day, Mitrovic scores a couple after he missed a penalty. He had a couple of other good chances from his head as well. He doesn't have too many of those days, to be fair to him. He is a goal scorer. Since that defeat to Aston Villa earlier in the season, they lost 3-0. I think Fulham, they've been better defensively as well. They weren't as open and exposed at the back in their last couple of games against Wolves and Sheffield United last week. And I think they do have some quality going forward as well. Ademola Lookman was brought in. He was man of the match in his first start last week. He had a great game, took a super goal as well. Ruben Loftus-Cheek was probably the second best outfield player last week after Lookman as well, another new signing. So the new signings, they've done what they've needed to do. They've hit the ground running and I think to get their first win. They're coming up against the Crystal Palace side. They've had 2 shots on target in the whole of their last 3 games. One shot in last week's game came from the penalty spot at home to Brighton. You know, that's really worrying statistics. It's one thing to convert the chances you make, but to not create any opportunities to shoot in a game of football, I think it's very hard to back a team like Palace at the moment. It seems like the weight of the whole club is on Zaha's shoulders, and unless he puts in a world-class performance, they're not getting a sniff at the moment. So Fulham, I think, good value to get their first 3 points of the season.
Yeah, Dan, I didn't quite realise the shooting statistics were so poor for Crystal Palace. I mean, they're without a win in their last 3, and surely this is as good an opportunity as any for Fulham this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was 20 shots to 1, wasn't it, for the Brighton against Crystal Palace match. Yeah. It was absolutely extraordinary. But no, I'm going to agree with Brian again. I think Fulham are a bit overpriced to win this one. I've not been as down on Fulham as the markets have been for a while. Lookman has made a difference for them up front. They could be full of confidence after getting his goal. Loftus-Cheek and making a difference in midfield. And I think at the back, they seem to have tightened up a little bit now after conceding a lot of goals early in the season. A respectable 1-0 defeat away to Wolves, and then the 1-1 at Sheffield United, where I think they actually were a bit unlucky not to win the game. Palace, I just think their confidence took a bit of a knock in that second half at Chelsea, where they shipped four goals, and against Brighton, very, very back foot performance. I know they've scored the early goal and, you know, maybe sat back a little bit, but poor performance. I think they're too one-dimensional still with Zaha. They brought in Eberechi Eze, who's been in and out the side. They don't seem to fully trust him at the moment. Made a move for his Ismaila Sarr apparently on deadline day. Didn't get that over the line. They need variety to that attack. Still too much on Zaha. It'll cost them here. For them, for me.
Liam, are we being slightly short-sighted? I mean, let's not forget Palace have picked up wins against Manchester United and also Southampton in the league this season. How do we see this one going?
Yeah, no, not necessarily. I'd be kind of going towards Fulham as well in this one. I like the look of Fulham draw no bet. I think sometimes you do just have to read more into performances and results. And well, I mean, although Fulham, they've only got 1 point from their first five matches, their recent performances, as kind of Dan and Brian have said, have been promising. Adamola Lookman and Ruben Loftus-Cheek provide some sort of support behind Aleksandar Mitrovic. So that gives them another dimension to their attack. You know, we're forgetting they nearly came away with maximum points against Sheffield United. You know, which, you know, I know they're a different side this season, but nonetheless a difficult team to get points off ordinarily. They battled hard in a 1-0 defeat to Wolves before that game. Scott Parker, you can tell a lot by what the man has to say about his team's performance, and he doesn't seem like a man who's you know, desperately concerned with the way Fulham are playing at the moment. And just Palace have just looked very wobbly of late. Like we said, they only had one shot in the entirety of that draw with Brighton, which is a game that they should have been sort of operating and maybe a bit more on the front foot in. It was, you know, it's a big game for supporters, even if they weren't there. And prior to that, obviously, very, you know, sort of comprehensive defeat to Chelsea and Everton. And although Fulham may not carry as much in the final third as those two sides, I still fancy them to get something from this game. So I think Fulham draw no bet around 17 to 20 looks the best bet for me.
Well, both games, well, all three games so far, you've all been in agreement. So hopefully there's some disagreement. Arguably the game of the weekend, 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, sees Manchester United take on Chelsea on Sky Sports main event. And Brian, how are Paddy Power pricing this?
We have Man United at 7-5. The draw is 5-2, and Chelsea are 7-4.
Brian, I think most people expected Chelsea's start of the season to be slightly more consistent. That they've been slightly wobbly, haven't they? Can they get a win here?
It's not often I tip up Man United to win, but I don't think Chelsea are going to win this. So I'm happy to have a go at Man United at 7-5. They'll take huge confidence from the week they've had. You know, they're so good at playing against teams where they're able to sit in deep and break quickly. I'd be more confident in backing United against a Chelsea or a Man City or a Liverpool teams who will give up chances than I would be against teams that they're expected to beat on paper and expected to take the initiative and coming up against teams who defend for 90 minutes. They were able to replicate their win over PSG last season during the week, and I'd imagine they'll set up in a similar way, be happy to concede most of the possession, sit in and try to release their forward players, Greenwood or Rashford, quickly. They did the double over Chelsea last season. It's a fixture they've done well in over the last couple of years as well. They are unbeaten against five against Chelsea in the league. Chelsea's performances, yeah, like as you said, they've been okay. They're in a transitional period. I was listening to my colleague Will was on the podcast before they played West Brom a couple of weeks back, and I think he said that it was a good time to play Chelsea, and I think that still stands. They should get better and have more structure and be more sound as the season progresses. But for now, I wouldn't be rushing to back them until we see a bit more consistency in their performances. Without doubt, they've quality players there, but I don't think Lampard hasn't brought them all together to work in cohesion yet. So happy to go with Man United to win at 7-5.
Liam, I know it's early days to be saying this, but is pressure starting to mount on Frank Lampard considering the amount of money they spent?
I think it will be if results don't sort of improve in the next couple of months. But I think you've got to give managers, you know, the first several weeks when they've had such a large number of new players coming in, you know, big personalities as well in Timo Werner and Kai Havertz. So I think he's got, you know, he's still got a bit of time behind him. But I do fancy United over Chelsea in this one at 7-5. It's a small sample size, granted, but in those last two matches against Newcastle and, of course, Paris Saint-Germain, I think United just look a little bit like they got their mojo back. They look a bit like the side that performed so well towards the back end of last season. I mean, they thumped Newcastle 4-1. Obviously, a few late goals in that one, but, you know, thoroughly deserved. 28 shots, 14 on target, and 64% possession on that occasion. And then, you know, Marcus Rashford came out and said afterwards it was an excellent tactical performance from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for United to beat Paris Saint-Germain 2-1 in the Champions League. Bruno Fernandes once again looks like the top operator who we saw arrive in January. And I think they can send out a bit of a statement by beating Chelsea and kind of say, look, this isn't, this is Manchester United. This is the Manchester United we want to be. Chelsea were flaky against Southampton, and much like, you know, it was the narrative last season that what cost Chelsea more often than not were individual blunders and individual errors. Lampard, you know, once again came out and said that's what cost them last time out, and any of that kind of complacency will be punished by this United team who can be very quick in transitions when they're at their best. So I think odds against Old Trafford, I'd be back in Man United in this one.
Dan, it was a wonderful win in the week for Manchester United against a brilliant PSG side. They'll surely take confidence from that in going into this game against Chelsea, won't they?
They will, but I'm going to break the cycle of agreement here, and I'm going to go for Chelsea. It's not a confident prediction, but I just feel, I think there's just signs that Chelsea are starting to tighten up a little bit. At least, you know, getting a clean sheet against Sevilla would have given them and a bit of confidence at the back. I still don't fancy them defensively. I don't fancy Manchester United defensively either. I mean, even though, you know, much better performances the last two games, there's still no clean sheet in either of those matches. And I just feel that Chelsea have more about them, more quality going forward. The first half of that Southampton game, there were just signs of it coming together with Timo Werner, Kai Havertz and Christian Pulisic. There was some great link-up play and combination play between the three of them. I think they are going to get better. Also, in these big games, I think it's between the big six. I think the home sides, the lack of the crowds on these big occasions is going to, you know, have an impact on the results as well. I mean, we saw Spurs go and sort of play like it was a training session at Old Trafford recently and win 6-1 there. Now, I don't expect Chelsea to put off a similar result, but I do think, as I say, I think they've got a little bit more quality up front, and I'll just take them as a value bet to win the game.
Well, there we go. We finally, as Dan put it, broken the cycle of agreement on the Football Postcast this week. The late kickoff on Saturday is 8:00, Liverpool taking on Chris Wilder's Sheffield United side. You've got to pay for this one if you want to watch it. £14.95 on Sky Sports box office. Brian, obviously all the news this week about Liverpool regarding Virgil van Dijk's long-term injury. The prices for this, and I guess, do you think Liverpool have the depth to be able to deal with that injury to their key centre-back?
Yeah, Liverpool, they're 2-9 to win this one, 5-1 the draw, and Sheffield United are 10-1. And yeah, as you say, Jack, yeah, that was all the talk this week. They went on a big drift in the outright betting, as you said at the top of the show, after the extent of van Dijk's injury was confirmed. But having Fabinho there as a replacement, that it hasn't been the biggest downgrade in the world. Obviously, no one can replace van Dijk, but Fabinho, I think, is okay backup there. I think he's quite comfortable there. He played there against Chelsea earlier on in the season. He kept Timo Werner very quiet, didn't give him a sniff in that game. And again, last night when he was put in against Ajax, he put in some great tackles and had those defensive instincts to, he got back very well to clear off his goal line when Adrian was lobbed at one stage. I'd say at the moment Adrian probably is the worry. He did very well when he stepped in for Alisson at the start of last season, but his confidence seems to have gone now. You can tell the defenders don't have a huge amount of trust in him, but I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem against Sheffield United this weekend. I'm not sure if Sheffield United will be able to target Adrian and give him too much to deal with. So I'm happy to take Liverpool on to win this 2-0, which is odds against around 11-10 mark. Sheffield United have been struggling for goals, struggling to create more chances worryingly as well. Their next three games are Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea. And I think Chris Wilder could be in big trouble after those three games. They were lucky to hold on to a point against Fulham last week. They created very little against Fulham at home, and I know Dan had picked them to go down in one of the pods at the start of the season at 4-1, and the way they're playing, you couldn't argue against that prediction now. They just seem void of ideas, and I think they're just too easy to play against at the moment. So I can't see any upsets this weekend for Liverpool. I think they'll pass their first league test without Van Dijk and can win this with a clean sheet as well.
Dan, Liverpool's problems have been well publicised this week. As we've mentioned, that injury to Van Dijk is going to be a hindrance. But what's happened to Sheffield United? Because, you know, there was genuine talks last season that they might be kind of the top six side in the Premier League. And they were playing some wonderful football under Chris Wilder, really rocking at Bramall Lane. This season, they're really struggling. You know, you've talked about it in length on this podcast before, but that form hasn't turned around, has it?
No, I just think a lot of their success last season, I mean, Wilder is such a good manager and he gets the most out of his players. And there was a real intensity about them last season. And it's too simplistic to just point at the lack of crowds, I know. But I think there was a drop off from them after the suspension and the summer games towards the end of last season. I thought there was a drop off in their performance, didn't play with the same intensity, and I think that's carried over into this season. I think they lost the last three games at the end of last season, so the poor form has sort of carried on for a bit longer than people realise. And I do think when you're not playing with that great intensity, what you need is quality individuals that a lot of teams in the Premier League have got, match winning players. And I look through the Sheffield United team, I don't see too many of them, and that leaves you vulnerable, makes it difficult to win games. And I don't think they're far from certainties to be relegated. I just felt at the start of the season they'd be in the mix for it, and I still feel that. And thinking this game, I'm going to go exactly the same to Brian, Liverpool to win to nil. Sheffield United attacking threat is going to be minimal. Liverpool, are they going to be weaker without Virgil van Dijk? Of course they will be. Still going to be a very, very strong side. Fabinho did excellent in there against Ajax. Got a clean sheet there. And I think in a funny way, Van Dijk being out, it's gotten to focus a little bit more on their defensive work. I mean, earlier in the season with Van Dijk, there was a lack of focus for Liverpool at the back and a sloppiness about them at the back. Now they seem to be a bit more focused on what they're doing back there. And I think they'll keep a clean sheet here.
No, that's a very good point. I haven't thought of it like that. Liam, Liverpool are very short in this game, 2-9, as Brian mentioned earlier. Where do you see the value in this?
Yeah, similar angle to the guys. I'd be going Liverpool -1 on the handicap at 4-6, so essentially to win by two or more goals. There've been plenty of shocks in the Premier League recently, but I don't think this game will throw one up. Sheffield United, as Dan's kind of said, they look very passive of late. Only 1 point and two goals scored from their five league matches this season. And even against what is a fragile Fulham side, who you think you're going to get the benefit of going at them, they didn't really seem to play on the front foot. I don't really rate the forwards they've got at their disposal, McGoldrick and McBurney. And yes, Liverpool shown vulnerability at the back of late, but I think Fabinho, I think the Virgil van Dijk situation is a touch overblown. Yes, he's a world class centre half, but Fabinho is also a top centre back, and when he plays there, I think he can. He's got an excellent reading of the game. He's good in the air. He's comfortable in possession. So certainly in a match like this, I don't think that the Van Dijk absence will show. On top of that, Liverpool got Sadio Mane back in their ranks now and playing in that front three. And they remain a frightening side in that final third. Netted at least two goals in six of their first seven matches this season. So, yeah, I'd fancy Liverpool to get a comfortable win here. A -1 on the handicap at 4-6.
Well, there we go. No shock on the cards, according to our panel. We'll be going through Sunday's game shortly.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Part two of the football postcast here on the Racing Post. Thanks very much for tuning in this week. On the Sunday's games then, the early kickoff sees Southampton taking on Everton on Sky Sports main event. And Brian, how are Paddy Power seeing this one going?
We have Southampton at 15-8, the draw 12-5, and Everton 13-10 favourites for this one.
Yeah, Everton, a brilliant start to the season. No grumbles from their fans at all. Can they continue their good start here?
I wouldn't be keen to back them at the price. They are 13-10 away from home at Southampton. Happy to have a go on Southampton. Draw no bet is odds against around 11-10. I think that's a fine play. Southampton, if you look at their form for the calendar year, they'd be comfortably in the top six based on results in 2020 so far. They're unbeaten in three games now since their defeat to Tottenham. Did very well last week to come back and get a point at Stamford Bridge. I really like the partnership they have up top as well in Che Adams and Danny Ings. There's an incredible work rate between them. They're a handful for defenders. They defend from the front and you can never really be comfortable on the ball as a defender with the two of them around you. Danny Ings as well, he loves playing against Everton. I was checking, he scored more goals against Everton than any other Premier League team he's faced. Everton, they've had a phenomenal start. Obviously, the new signings they've brought in have hit the ground running, especially James Rodriguez. I have to say, I've been very surprised with how good he has been in this Everton team. They've been full value for their four wins. Probably got away with one last week with the VAR decision at the end to hold on to a point against Liverpool. That game has cost them though as well though in terms of injuries. Seamus Coleman is going to be out for this one. Richarlison is suspended as well. It looks like Ben Godfrey is going to come in for his first start to replace Seamus Coleman. I haven't seen a whole amount of him. You probably know more about him, Jack, than I do. Iwobi will be in for Richarlison as well, which you know, is definitely a downgrade. So with those players missing, I think there's value to be had in Southampton, and money back if it's a draw, odds against on Southampton draw, no bet.
Dan, are you in agreement with Brian there? I mean, we can't look past Everton's start to the season. I mean, Southampton, on the other hand, two wins in their first five games. Not a terrible start to the campaign there. Do you think this is going to be a tight affair?
Yeah, tight affair, and I think at the prices, I would agree with Brian. I'd go with Southampton to win the game. Look a bit overpriced. I do think Everton are top six contenders this season. I've been really impressed with their new signings. But against Liverpool, we're a little bit fortunate, I think, to get away with a 2-2 draw. I think Richarlison is going to be a big miss for them up going forward. They're going to lack that sort of pace and movement that he brings to the team. And they've not got as good backup now. They've let Moise Keane go on loan to Paris Saint-Germain. So there's a little, not even, you know, with Iwobi now, you know, possibly coming in. That's not far from ideal situation there for them going forward. A lot of the emphasis will be on Dominic Calvert-Lewin to carry on his fantastic start. Season. I think Southampton on the other side of the coin seem to be getting better with every match at the moment. I thought a great second half against Chelsea, where they got back to that intensity that they were kind of famous for last season. They lost it a little bit after Pierre-Emile Højbjerg went to Spurs. He set the tone from last season, but they got back in that second half against Chelsea. It'll cause Everton a lot of problems. Danny Ings, a Liverpool supporter, isn't he? So he'll be up for the game. Got four goals this season. Just think he might get the winner here as well. Southampton for me.
Liam, do you think Calvert-Lewin can keep up this rich vein of form that he's in?
Yeah, I'd definitely like to see him do so. I think it's been a lot about him changing his approach to matches now, with kind of getting in the box a little bit more and working not as hard in terms of he's. I think when you're a younger player and you're coming into the team and you want to impress, typically you'll be sort of operating in different areas of the pitch. But I think he's realised that his best area is just in the box at the moment, and he's been scoring pretty straightforward goals so far this campaign. So I would very much like him to continue. I think he's definitely wanted to be pushing for that Euro squad place next summer. He's one of the players on display in what I think should be a pretty exciting game. And that's why I'm, again, going for what is a, I think, quite a good bet at the moment, and over 3.5 goals at 15-8. These two sides, I think, have been two of the great entertainers in the Premier League so far this season. Southampton's five matches so far have featured 17 goals, while Everton's have seen 21. And, you know, the Toffees obviously twice breached Liverpool last time out, and they're among the pace setters in the Premier League at the moment with four wins and a draw from their five matches. As I said, you've got, you know, two English sharpshooters on display, and one in Calvert-Lewin, who's got seven goals to his name, and Danny Ings, who's got four. So you've got some, you know, top forwards on display in this one. I think the way that the Saints pushed Chelsea last time out makes me reluctant to go anything in to go for anything in particular in the result market, because I think it really could swing either way. So over 3.5 goals, would be a decent bet for me. It's landed actually in five of Everton's last six games in all competitions.
The goals angle for Liam. 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, Wolves against Newcastle United. Brian, it feels as if Wolves are just quietly going about their business, going under the radar slightly. Three wins already this season, going up against Newcastle, going up against a Newcastle side this weekend. Will you be backing the home side here?
Yeah, I will be. They're 8-11 to win. The draw is 23-10, and Newcastle are 4-1. As you said, yeah, they are just going about their business quietly. 2-1-0 wins in a row for them, and I fancy them to win to nil again this weekend. I can see it's been a 1 or 2 nil win for Wolves. If they manage to keep St. Maximin quiet, I don't think Newcastle will pose them too many problems. He was unplayable in their win, Newcastle's win over Burnley a couple of weeks back. But I think Newcastle are starting to over-depend on him a bit. If he's not at it, they really struggle to create very many chances. Either side of that win over Burnley, they created very little. They had a very fortunate own goal for them against Man United. Before that, against Spurs, they were fortunate enough as well to get a penalty late on. There are a couple of players still. Dubravka, Gale, and Matt Ritchie are all still missing for them this weekend. So I think Wolves will be fine to put in an Aka at 8-11. If you want to beef up the price a bit to an odds against selection, Wolves and under 3.5 goals is around 11-10. Wolves' last 9 wins in all competitions have had under 3.5 goals. So that'll be my pick for this game.
Dan, what about you in this one?
I'm up for laying Wolves here, actually. I'm going to go for Newcastle or draw, double chance. Newcastle, I always think that they look a lot worse when they're up against the big teams. Seem to have a negative attitude when they go into matches against, you know, that you've seen against Manchester United this season and against Spurs where they got that really lucky point. But against the kind of more mid-table type sides, against Burnley, they look really good. Against West Ham, they play really, really well, got a deserved win. They are carrying a greater goal threat this season with Callum Wilson coming in, got Alan Saint-Maximin, who's looking really, really good. And I just think Wolves have been a team for a while where they're not going to press Newcastle in the same way that Manchester United did, in the same way that Spurs did. They like to counter-attack themselves. You saw them nick a 1-0 at Leeds last time out, where I think they had the possession of about 35%. So they like to play that way. When they're up against teams that they expect to beat, they often don't justify their odds-on favouritism. So you know, they'll want you to get in front, get Newcastle to come out and then counter-attack them. If they don't get in front, I think they might struggle to break them down. So I'll take a chance on Newcastle avoiding defeat.
Liam, who do you agree with here?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably be siding with Wolves, actually, in this game. And for that reason, I go draw Wolves half-time, full-time at 10-3. Wolves have claimed successive 1-0 wins over Fulham and Leeds, as we said, in their last two games. And on both occasions, their goals came in the second half. Nuno Santo actually addressed this last time out, saying how much better his side were after the break, and said actually their energy is a lot better typically in the second half. And it was a very similar story last season when I think only Bournemouth had a worse first half record than Wolves, but only Manchester City and Liverpool had better second half records. I think that Wolves actually only led in 7 of their 38 league matches last season, so typically seems to come into their own in the second half. Newcastle, only one win in their last four, had a couple of tricky games, obviously. And in fairness, they should have lost their last away league contest against Tottenham, having sort of been awarded that ludicrous penalty on that occasion. I think going forward, they do have more at their disposal now. Callum Wilson, Saint-Maximin and Ryan Fraser all combining pretty well. But at Molineux, I think I'd still fancy Wolves to win this game. And I think it will take them a little bit of time to grow into it, as it seems to quite often at the moment. So draw Wolves half-time, full-time for me.
The late kickoff on Sunday is Arsenal taking on Leicester City. Again, this one's on Sky Sports box office, so you'll have to cough up some money if you want to watch this one. Brian, Leicester are one of them sides this season that I just haven't really been able to grasp. What have you made to their start of the season?
Yeah, they've lost their last couple of games, all right, but I think there's value with being on side with them here this weekend against Arsenal. I'm going to have a go with them draw no bet at 15-8. They are 29-10 to win the game. Arsenal at home are 5-6, and the draw is 13-5. if you look at their last couple of games at home, they look sluggish. They didn't create very many chances. But we've seen the opposite in their away games so far this season. They've scored 8 goals in their 2 away games. Obviously had a smashing 5-2 win against Man City, and we know how effective they are sitting in and breaking quickly. Vardy is probably going to be out of this game at the weekend, which is a worry. He usually torments Arsenal, but I still think they're worth having on side. Arsenal are in Europa League action tonight in Vienna, so they have a couple of days less to prepare for this. And for me, Arsenal, they're not creating enough chances at the moment for me to have confidence in backing them. They create 2 or 3 chances per game, really, and if they don't take them, they're in trouble. West Ham went to the Emirates a couple of weeks back. They were the better team. Arsenal created 2 chances all game and scored from both of them. It was the same story when they played Sheffield United at home. They didn't give Sheffield United many chances, but they didn't create many themselves. Obviously, they have Aubameyang, but he can't score in every game. He's only scored 1 goal this season, and I think Arsenal's results depend on him and Lacazette taking their chances. And when they don't do that, they're in trouble. Brendan Rodgers would have watched how Man City dealt with Aubameyang last week by having Walker sort of covering Cancelo inside. And if Leicester can keep Aubameyang quiet, they have every chance of getting a win here, and I'm happy to have them drawn a bet.
You're a fan of Arsenal. What's the mood been like amongst the fan base this season?
I think it's still generally quite optimistic, obviously, despite a couple of disappointing results recently. But even looking at that defeat to Manchester City at the Etihad, that is actually an improvement on how they've played, you know, FA Cup aside, on how they've performed against Pep Guardiola's men in the league of late. As Dan touched upon earlier in the podcast, the shot count was quite tight in that one. And I think, as well as speaking volumes maybe about Manchester City, that does say a lot about how Arsenal have tightened up this season. Looking at this one, I would fancy Arsenal a shade of odds on at 5-6 to win this game. Both teams will have Europa League duties on Thursday. Arsenal travel into Rapid Vienna and Leicester facing the Ukrainian Zorya. But this will, of course, be something a bit more familiar to Arsenal. Perhaps they've got that squad depth to rotate a little bit more easily. And, you know, it's worth noting Leicester, that they will welcome back Jamie Vardy by the sounds of it in this game. But Kalash Wayonku, a real key centre-half, performed so well last season. He remains out for quite a long time, and that's a big blow for Leicester going to the Emirates. Arsenal have looked in pretty good shape recently. Like I said, that result at the Etihad by no means disgraced them. They've nonetheless won 3 of their 5 league games. Their defeats came against Liverpool and City, and then, of course, they went and beat Liverpool in they drew and then knocked Liverpool out of the League Cup. And they also got the better of the Foxes in the third round of the League Cup as well, at the King Power back in September. Okay, the Premier League is a bit of a different context, but I think nonetheless Arsenal's start has been solid. And the only reason really you could suggest it's been a bit rocky of late is because I've had a couple of games with City and Liverpool, who you know, typically you wouldn't be expecting Arsenal to win those matches this season anyway. Obviously, I think Arsenal will be looking to improve their overall performances against top 6 opposition, but in those big clashes, I think that Arsenal, I don't think they disgraced themselves at all. So I think I fancy Arsenal to come out on top of the Emirates.
Come on then, Dan, you can have the final say on this one.
It's gonna remain all square, because I'm gonna sit on the fence and go for a draw here. I just think I'm uneasy about backing Arsenal at odds on in a game. You know, you've got no fans in the stadium. Teams, they're both on 9 points at the moment, leveling, you know, in the league. Last season, Leicester had the better season, were 5th, Arsenal were 8th. Now, I think against that, there are factors in Arsenal's favour with the injuries to Soyuncu that Liam's mentioned, also Wilfred and Ndidi being out as well. So there is a weakness in the spine of this Leicester team that is a bit concerning. But the other side of it is going forward, you know, Vardy's ready. They could be close to full strength. James Maddison off the bench last game, he could be ready to start, you know, and that could give them that crucial link that they've kind of missed in their attacking play. Arsenal, agree with Brian, they were unconvincing in the home games against West Ham and Sheffield United. So I'm just not overjoyed about backing them at odds on for a game that I think will be close draw for me.
Well, make of that what you will. A home win, a draw, and an away win predicted by the gents. Still Monday's action to go through, and also the naps still to come. Stay with us.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily Jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Part three of the football postcast here on The Racing Post. You join myself, Jack Reeve, alongside Liam Flynn and Dan Childs of The Racing Post Sport Desk and Brian McDonald from our sponsors, Paddy Power. 5:30 on Monday sees Brighton and Hove Albion taking on West Bromwich Albion. Another one where you might have to pay £14.95 for. Brian, the prices here and what's your angle?
Brighton are 3-4. The draw, we have a 14-5, and West Brom are 10-3. I like a home win with Brighton here. I think West Brom will need their new signing from Huddersfield, Carlan Grant Ahern, to start firing fast if they are going to stay up this season. If you look at the sort of expected goals metrics, West Brom in the first five games this season, they're yet to have over one expected goal for in any game. And if you're not creating good chances, you're not going to score any goals. So their away games this season have been particularly poor as well. They created next to nothing in their defeat against Southampton last time out away from home. Brighton, on the other hand, they've scored every game this season. Their results haven't been too dissimilar to West Brom's so far, but they are creating a lot more chances. And if they continue to do so, the results will start to come. Slight concern, though, it's nearly always the same story for Brighton under Graham Potter. I always seem to come on here and say they've been unlucky, they play well, they didn't get the result. And that could potentially be a mental block at this stage, just getting the win over the line. But I do like their style of play. Some of their players, Lamptey, March, Trossard, Mapai, these are all players who can play good football and fit the system that Potter has very well. So I think Brighton should be fine. They should pull clear of the relegation. This represents their best chance of the season so far for a win. So happy to just back them in the match odds.
Yeah, Dan, West Brom now relying on Carlan Grant for their goals. They haven't scored in their last two league fixtures. Huddersfield, who are now without Grant, have won their last two. So what do we make of that signing and can the goals come here for West Brom?
I think it's a signing that will be more beneficial to them in away games when they can use his pace on the counter-attack. I've mentioned that he's not really the centre-forward that apparently they were going after all summer, but I think away from home he'll be useful. I actually think the draw is a bit overpriced here at 14-5, so I'm going to go with that. I think Brighton are a team to assess. I mean, you know, they on the stats, they always, you know, show up really, really well, but they don't keep many clean sheets. And how do you assess the game against Crystal Palace? I mean, they've gone behind early on. You know, do you say that Brighton, you know, I've absolutely dominated the game clearly, but is that because they've been excellent or Palace just sat back? It's a difficult one to assess. I thought Everton, when they lost 4-2, they were poor, trying to play in the wrong areas, got punished. And I think because of the struggles they have at the back, they often need to score twice to win a game. I think that may be, you know, difficult for them against West Brom. We've shown bits and pieces of, you know, they've got tightened up with that 0-0 against Burnley. I think on the break, I mentioned Grant. They've also got, I think, Grady Diangana and Matias Pereira who have come up from, I thought they were superb in the Championship. I also think they've got the ability to be very good players in the Premier League as well and could cause problems on the counter-attack here for Brighton. So I'll go with the draw.
Yeah, Liam, if you don't look at the, well, I mean, this is coming from my opinion, if you don't look at the league table, I would have said that Brighton have probably had a half-decent start to the season, but they've only picked up one win. Will their second of the season come here?
Well, that's interesting you say that. I think it will. Actually, looking, I had a look at the expected points table, and according to the expected points table at the moment, Brighton should actually rank sixth in the Premier League standings, but in reality, obviously, they're 16th with only one win in five games. I definitely think you look at their performances, they've deserved far more than what they've got. As we mentioned, held by Crystal Palace last time out, despite winning the shot count 21 on that occasion. They were incredibly unlucky, actually, to lose to Manchester United by virtue of a 100th minute penalty last month, scored by Bruno Fernandes. They have netted 9 times this season, so there are goals in this team. I like the way they play, they and I think they should be fancied against West Brom, who are winless from 5 league games. I mean, the way they race ahead against Chelsea and then just kind of capitulated in that second half shows that there are defensive issues there. But Also more pressing perhaps is their lack of goals, as we talked with the arrival of Colin Grant. They drew blanks against Southampton and Burnley recently. The Amex is a difficult place to go anyway, with or without fans. And I think with West Brom's lack of quality up top, they could struggle in this one. So I think Brighton are a very good price. And actually, of all of the Premier League tips this week, I think Brighton to win this one is one of the best.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you there. Liam, the final game of the Premier League game week is Burnley against Tottenham Hotspur. Brian, I was listening to Mark Langdon speak earlier in the week, and he's very keen on Tottenham here. Are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I like them to win, and I think I'm going to go with them on the minus one handicap. They're 6-10 to win away from home at Turf Moor. Burnley are 9-2, and the draw is 14-5. Maybe a bit short to just back on their own. You can have them as maybe the second leg of a double with Brighton in the earlier game Monday evening. But I'm happy, minus one in the handicap. Their away form has been perfect. Two games, two wins, 11 goals they've scored. Obviously, they had a collapse last week. That will have hurt them. But it's very hard to see Burnley scoring one, two, three goals here to have any effect on the result. They created very little in their only home game this season against Southampton. They have a couple of players out injured as well. And for me, they're in big trouble this season. I think they'll be right there in the mix for relegation come the end of the season. Their business in the summer was uninspiring. There were no major arrivals at all, really. They brought in Dale Stevens from Brighton to replace Jeff Hendrick, and he didn't get on against West Brom last week. Tottenham have been great to watch this season. Kane and Son, obviously, in top form, scoring and setting each other up as well. Gareth Bale should be ready to join them up front this week as well. I think he looked bright when he came on last week. Should have put the game beyond doubt. Should have put Tottenham 4-2 up. A beautiful turn, put himself through, but just the finish wasn't there. But I think that's an incredible front three to have now. Tottenham have, and it rivals any forward line in the league, I think. I think Spurs, they were incredibly unlucky in their draws against West Ham and Newcastle, but I really can't see how Burnley can put it up to them and cause them any problems. I think it's going to be a comfortable evening for Tottenham. I agree with Mark. Happy to have them minus one.
Dan, Burnley are in a pack of four teams who are yet to win in the Premier League this season. Granted, they have only played four games. The majority of the other teams have played five. Another tricky encounter for them here.
It is, and I mean, I think I agree. I fancy Spurs to win, but I mean, 6-10 to win, and they're 12-5 Spurs to win, and both teams to score. Now, Spurs haven't kept a clean sheet all season, so why not bump up the price and go Spurs to win and both teams to score? You saw against West Ham, the goal that triggered West Ham back into the game was a set piece from a swung in from a long way out. West Ham, you know, made the first contact, wasn't it, that scored the goal. So there's a weakness there in the heart of that Spurs defence. Tried to get Milan Skriniar towards the end of the transfer window. That didn't go through. I think Burnley will be looking at that. I mean, they're a team as good as any from set pieces. Got the likes of Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes, big physical presences for them up front. But I think Spurs, with what they've got going forward, could be possible here. This could be the first time in the Premier League this season that Son, Kane and Bale could all play together. That is a frightening front three. I just think as a fixture, this kind of Turf Moor this season without fans, it's such a difference to how it normally would be. It's one of those grounds that normally is a really tough place to go, difficult atmosphere. Not the case this season. Southampton won their 1-0 quite comfortably when they were actually on a bad run of form going there earlier in the season. Spurs will win this, but they may concede.
Any hope for Burnley, Liam?
No, I'll be going for the Tottenham angle as well. I'll actually go Tottenham to win an under 3.5 goals at 13-10. I mean, Tottenham have been scoring goals for fun, but I think they could find it a touch harder to come by at Turf Moor. Burnley were hit by a barrage of injuries at the start of the season, but they've got a few of their key players back now, such as Tarkowski and Ashley Barnes. And although I don't fancy them to get anything from the game, and I think Tottenham, you know, are the obvious bet to win it, I do think they can keep it a little bit tight, as they always do at Turf Moor. Tottenham looked effective in the final third and of late, and they're unbeaten in their last eight games across all competitions, so they should be able to carve something out of some probably fairly limited opportunities compared to what they've had in recent matches. And I think a low-scoring Tottenham win could be the way to go. I've been very impressed with Tottenham so far this season. And I think they'll be, they're the ones to side with in this.
Yeah, really excited to see Gareth Bale in full flow back in the Premier League. That is the Premier League fixtures all rounded up. Hopefully you've got a wealth of knowledge to be able to put some informed bets on this weekend. Let's move elsewhere. Any other divisions, any other fancies from our panel today? And Brian, we'll start with you.
Yeah, we have the El Clasico on Saturday, 3 o'clock. And I like Barcelona. They're even money at home to Madrid. Madrid have been so poor in the last week. They had a home to Cadiz in the league last week. They went 1-0 down early on and they were still outplayed for the majority of the game. Last night, we saw a Shakhtar team with lots of injuries come and go 3-0 up before holding on for a 3-2 win as well. Lots of injuries to important players do Madrid have. Carvajal, Sergio Ramos, Eden Hazard are all out injured as well. It's probably one of the least exciting Clasicos for a number of years now, the way the two teams are playing at the moment. Myself and Liam were talking before we went on air about how La Liga is quite open this season and there's a real opportunity for another team to take the title this season, Seville or Atletico Madrid. But I think for this game, Barcelona are worth having on side around even money. And then closer to home in the Football League, I have Charlton away to Northampton. Charlton have won 2 of their 3 away games this season, and they're a nice price, around 11-8 to beat Northampton this weekend. Cobblers had lost 4 on the trot before a narrow win over a struggling Swindon Town team midweek. I don't think Northampton squad has enough quality this season to cause too many problems in League One, and I think they're going to be in a big relegation fight come the end of the season.
Barcelona and Charleston, nice little double that. Dan, what about you?
First of all, I'll look at Wimbledon in League One, draw no bets, 6-5 away to Burton. I think Wimbledon, mid-table at the moment, having a decent season under Glyn Hodges, unlucky to lose 1-0 at Hull, the top of the league on Tuesday. Previous 3 away games, I took 7 points, including a very impressive 1-0 win at Fleetwood, where they weren't flattered by that victory at all. Burton, bottom of the league, they're struggling on a lower budget this season. Nigel Clough didn't want to hang around. Jake Buxton's taken over in the dugout there. But they're having a tough season. Lost 1-0 at home to Rochdale on Tuesday. Rochdale had both first-choice centre-backs missing as well. Still kept a clean sheet. League 2, I'm going to go for Port Vale, 13-8 away to Oldham. Port Vale 13th now, after they lost 3-1 at Cambridge, who are the leaders. They play well in that game. Cambridge manager Mark Bonner said that Port Vale are one of the best teams Cambridge have faced this season. They're only 2 points Vale off the playoffs, so they're still in contention. All their 3 defeats have been against top 6 sides. Oldham 19th. They've got the second worst defensive record in the division, 15 goals conceded. They've only taken 1 point from their 4 home games. That was on Tuesday. Jack Burnley's, I think he's at the next Man United trainee. His injury time goal rescued them a fortunate 1-1 draw at home to Carlisle. I think Port Vale.
And Liam.
Yeah, both of mine coming from Germany here, actually. I like the look of Stuttgart, firstly, newly promoted Stuttgart, to beat Cologne at even money. Stuttgart lost their opening game of the season to Freiburg 3-2, but they had 26 shots in that game, 65% possession. And they responded to that result with a draw against Bayer Leverkusen and wins over Mainz and Hertha Berlin. As for Cologne, they've lost their opening 3 matches before a draw with Eintracht Frankfurt, who arguably deserved more from that game. And I think Cologne are worth opposing. Elsewhere, Hoffenheim, they're a team I really like the look of in the outright market. I tipped them to have a decent season, top 4 finish. But I'm actually going to oppose them this weekend. I like the look of Werder Bremen, draw no bet versus Hoffenheim, 11-10. Hoffenheim started the season with wins over Cologne and Bayern Munich, but they've since lost to Eintracht Frankfurt and Borussia Dortmund. And you look at Werder Bremen, they've claimed the scouts of Schalke and Arminia Bielefeld recently, before holding Freiburg, who remember were in a contention for a European berth last season. They held Freiburg to a stalemate last time out, and Werder Bremen have lost only 1 of their last 5 league encounters. They, of course, won the Bundesliga playoff last term to secure survival. And since then, they've looked a lot sharper, and I think they look on course for a much stronger campaign in Germany's top flight. So Werder Bremen, draw no bet versus Hoffenheim and Stuttgart to beat Cologne.
There we go. Some differing angles in other divisions. And now it's time for the maps.
This will not be beaten.
Yeah, this is the time where we get the best bets from each of our panel. We put it in a treble and it gets enhanced by Paddy Power. Brian, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm looking in League Two, and I'm going with Forest Green to beat Morecambe away from home. Morecambe are one of the lowest rated teams in League Two this season, at the start of the season. They've had a decent start results-wise. They do sit sixth, but with a minus five goal difference. They've already had some heavy defeats, but they have had a couple of narrow wins against struggling sides, Oldham and Southend. All of their wins this season have been by the single goal. They played midweek against another team expected to be towards the bottom of the table, Mansfield. They drew with them. The Forest Green had their first loss of the season midweek. They sit a point behind Morecambe in the table, but we have Forest Green around 8-1 to win the league, whilst Morecambe are 55-1. So that just goes to show how differently rated they are. And I think they're a nice prize, Forest Green, to win this one.
Dan?
I'm going to go Doncaster 19-20 to win their game at home to Crewe in League One. Doncaster up to six after wins against Portsmouth. They won 1-0 away to Portsmouth and a 4-1 win on Tuesday at home to Ipswich. Now, Portsmouth and Ipswich are two teams you'd expect to figure in the promotion scrap. So that's really, really good form there. Against the Crewe side, I think they've looked a bit jaded, Crewe, in their last two games. I know they've had a few issues with positive COVID tests and not been out trained so completely properly. The 1-1 at home to Blackpool for them last Saturday, they lost the shot count 15-3. And at Sunderland, they lost 1-0 at the Stadium of Light on Tuesday. They lost the shot count 20-4. They're not really playing with the intensity that they were earlier in the season. I think Doncaster, after those two really good results, can get another good one here.
And Liam, you can complete the treble this week.
Yeah, I'll be going to Spain for my one. Getafe to beat Granada at 17-20. Top four hopefuls, Getafe. They've made a solid start to the La Liga season. Three wins, a draw and a defeat from their five encounters. They'll be bursting with energy, having beaten Barcelona 1-0 last time out. Very disciplined performance on that occasion. Didn't have a lot of possession, but ground out the result. And they should have more possession and more opportunities against Granada, who will be venturing into their maiden Europa League campaign this week. And I think then they start off with a difficult contest away to PSV Eindhoven on Thursday night. And I think that contest could take a little bit out of them, as they've not obviously been used to any midweek football, really. So I think Getafe, they've looked solid at the back, conceded only twice in their first five matches of the season. And then they look a great bet, a shade of odds on to prevail.
Forest Green, Doncaster and Getafe go into the treble this week. That will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website. So if you like the sound of them tips from our panel, then head over there and have a little bet. Thank you for joining us this week. A big thanks to Dan, Liam and also Brian for providing their knowledge that hopefully you've been able to digest throughout the last hour or so. We'll be back again next week. And more importantly, if you are having a bet this week, please do remember to gamble responsibly. See you again very soon. Bye-bye.